Peace and welcome to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely. The voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. Yes, yes, yes. First and foremost, I just want to remind everybody, tonight is the premiere of The Tormentors happening at the Senator Theater this evening. If you plan to make your way over to the red carpet and to the showtime, tonight is the night to do it. And we look forward to connecting, building, singing each other. Yes, 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 because we're going to make our way over there as well. So big shout out to all of those who are supporting the great cause of having a conversation about bullying. And, of course, big shout out to all the young people, the authors of the book, The Tormentors. And, of course, the young folks that have been involved in this project. Big shout out to Ms. Pat Johnson of Youth Writers Challenge, as well as Mr. Rod Lopez of New Styles Production. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this premiere tonight, folks. You just don't know. And Alex, the producer, is looking quite magnificent tonight, folks. So if you make your way over to the Senator Theater, you get to see Alex, the producer, in living color. I'm telling you, he's looking dapper don tonight. Let me just say that. All right, folks, but of course we got something to talk about tonight. This is hot off the press, and it's got people talking. Here's the big story, folks. Apparently, the Downtown Partnership Organization has decided to take some actions into their own hands in dealing with quote-unquote squeegee kids. Or the squeegee guys, or the squeegee boys, however you want to frame it. Apparently, Downtown Partnership is placing unarmed guards at major intersections downtown where the squeegee boys are to ensure public safety, right? But they're doing it because they have been getting a ton of complaints, according to the organization's president, Mr. Kirby Fowler. He said that stakeholders in the city's business and cultural district are reporting an increase in bad experiences with the squeegee boys. These are young men, teenagers, who look to wash windshields at your Baltimore's busiest intersections for tips. He said sometimes the windshield washers, according to the Baltimore Sun and other reports, that sometimes the squeegee boys threaten drivers, draw obscene images on their windshield. Wow, that's pretty interesting. And slam their squeegees into their vehicle, cracking glass and causing other damage. He heard this one of one squirting washer fluid in a driver's mouth. Wow. So the Downtown Partnership Organization will spend roughly $3,000 a week on guards along President and Conway Streets during the morning and evening rush hours, according to Mr. Kirby Fowler. However, the guards will not have arrest powers. No, they're not going to arrest the boys. But they will monitor the young folk and offer to connect them with services to meet their needs. Now, this is a complex issue because squeegee boys have been a part of the Baltimore landscape for some time now. And at this point, we got to figure out what to really do with them. Like, why are they out there? Now, here's a couple of things, folks, to keep in mind. One is that if you're out there as a squeegee boy, most likely you're out there because of poverty, right? You're trying to make a little extra money on the side, and that's the big thing. But then you got to also deal with the issue of homelessness. You know, there are a lot of homeless youth in the city of Baltimore. There are organizations that are doing some of their groundwork to ensure that young people get back into homes. So that's certainly another thing. But then when you're talking, of course, about downtown, you're talking about the business center, the money, the economic center for the city. And so Downtown Partnership is doing its part to ensure that the tourist sites down there and the businesses down there, they are interrupted in bringing in money to Baltimore City. You got all of these, you have all of these layers, right? But Mr. Fowler said, went on record to say something I think was very, very important. One is, quote, he said, there are certain people who view the squeegee activity as an extension of poverty and distress in the city. Okay? He said, others see it as a nuisance and don't want to be bothered. And then he went on to say, and to some extent, both could be correct. Yep. That's what Mr. Fowler said about the squeegee boys, that they are creating a nuisance, that they are, I mean, it is a right-in-your-face reflection of poverty and distress in a city. Absolutely. But then it's also a situation of driver safety. There was one resident, according to a Facebook post, a man from Federal Hill, who said that one of the squeegee guys allegedly smashed a driver's he smashed his rear view window. Can you imagine that? You tell him, hey, nah, bro, I'm good. Next thing you know, out of frustration and anger, boom, he cracks your window. Wow. So we're going to talk about this, folks. What are we to do about the squeegee boys in Baltimore City? What are we to do with them? According to the police, Mr. Captain Jeffrey Featherstone said that he didn't have an estimate for the number of squeegee kids, but emphasized that his department will focus more on engagement efforts. So what does that mean? What does that look like? The captain said, I would want to remind the public that these are children, and our focus is taking a holistic approach to improving lives and improving safety. Okay, now that I can take. Improving lives and improving safety. But the thing that I can't understand is we got to figure out where are the families of these young men and these little brothers. Got to figure that out, right? What type of services they need. Mr. Fowler mentioned that, you know, connecting them with the needed services. Because a lot of times you see these guys, they may go to school, they may not go to school. What's their living situation, right? What's their living situation? Somewhere along the line, somebody know who these young guys are. And somewhere along the line, something fell apart. So I want to have a conversation about the squeegee boys in the city of Baltimore. Downtown Partnership is saying we're going to have unarmed guards at certain intersections in downtown Baltimore because there have been a number of complaints about the activities and interactions with drivers and other folks with squeegee boys. What can be done? What would you recommend? What would you recommend? The mayor has gone on record also to throw this out there, that she's working on a program that will address the holistic solution, a jobs program for the squeegee kids. She hopes to raise $1.7 million from private sector donations to give about 100 squeegee children or squeegee guys part-time jobs. She's trying to raise 1.7 to give them some jobs for the squeegee boys. I want to talk about it. Hit me up, 410-319-8888. Again, that number is 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me. A whole lot is coming up on tonight's edition of For the Culture right here on WEAA. Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me tonight, folks. All right, so we're talking about Squeegee Boys. Because apparently, there's a real problem going on downtown. So much of a problem where Downtown Partnership Organization, they have those guards that walk around downtown. I think they got like the neon jackets and all of that. But anyway, those men and women are going to now be put on duty at certain intersections to watch the activities of Squeegee Guys. Because there have been a number of complaints from folks that are coming through downtown, residents of downtown, about Squeegee Boys. They're finding that, according to the complaints, that the Squeegee Boys are disrespectful. They're causing damage to glasses. They're even going as so far as to throw some of the squeegee supplies into the driver's vehicles of the drivers. I mean, it's just getting out of hand. So I'm just trying to figure out what's happening here. Mr. Kirby Fowler, the president of the Downtown Partnership Organization, is saying, look, we're going to spend about $3,000 a week to try to create some new level of supervision, that their guards are not going to arrest the boys, but just monitor them. And I just want to get your thoughts on this, right? Because Squeegee Boys have been a part of the legacy, the history of Baltimore City. But at the same time, you can't have these boys just busting people in the mouth or going crazy, getting upset, all of those things. So what do we do about the Squeegee Boys and this action right now from Downtown Partnership saying that we need to monitor them? All right, let's jump on the lines. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Also, you could post your comments on our For the Culture page at For the Culture 889. Also broadcasting on my personal page at Faraji Muhammad, F-A-R-A-J-I-I Muhammad as well. All right, let's jump into it because I know many of you got something to say about this. This is one of those issues, right? Layers. It's got a lot of layers to this. So let's get into it. Let's kick it off. Clarence, Northwest Baltimore. Talk to me, Clarence. Good evening, sir.
Hey, Faraji. You know, we're not talking about Photoshop here. There's no layers to it here with me. We're going to have a clash of civilizations, right? The only thing that's out of hand is poverty, okay? Right up in your face, that's a manifestation of them boys. You know, you can call them what you want. Some people going to call in and say they hoodlums, they thugs, they this, that, and the other. Those young individuals who are out there hustling from people who don't care about them and have not cared about them, the main reason and they are in that situation because of that lack of caring and the poverty and the circumstances they've been subjected to in their living conditions by people like, excuse me, the Amos and Andy type mayor and people like her who have given all the tax breaks to the corporations and the people down there in that area. Okay? So what? They right in your face now. And you know what? If it turns into one of those Rodney King type incidents where something's happening, because you know what? I really don't think they give a who cat kitty about them boys down there in the little jackets, you know. And you know, Faraji, I know how it used to drive. I used to drive down there, like I said, when it was stupid money down there.
Yeah.
They really don't care. And you know what? You know what? I'm on their side.
All right. So what do you do about Squeegee Boys that are disrespectful to drivers? If the driver denied their service, should the driver be feel compelled if they say, no, you know, I don't need it today, and one of the guys, you know, throws something, curses somebody out, is that right?
No, that's not right, Faraji. But guess what? It's not right that, you know, I got to close my windows in my house and can't come out on my points because, you know, some folks want to
smoke blunts. I got to stay locked up in my house. That's just the way the cookie ball is rolling in this society that we live in now because of people like the mayor. And a lot of things ain't right for Roger, but you know what? No, it ain't right for them boys to do that. You know I'm not saying that.
No, I know. I know, but I'm just saying there has to be a thin line. And Clarence, thank you so much for checking in from Northwest Baltimore. There has to be a balance where we can address certainly the larger issue of poverty as to why those young brothers are out there on the street corners like that. I get that. But then how do we do that without condoning certain types of activity, certain types of behavior? And that's the big thing. That's the big thing. Let's go to Darlene, new caller from Windsor Mill. Good evening, Darlene. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, thanks. That's a wonderful thing.
So what's your take on this, Darlene?
My take on it is that instead of paying $3,000, you said $3,000 to hire security guards to go downtown and post up around these young fellas, why don't the city officials take that $3,000 like they did once before, set up pop shops for these young guys that want to make money, that maybe don't want to be out on the corner selling drugs or hustling or, you know, involved in a lot of violence and whatnot is going on throughout the city. They're trying to do something positive. I know it's annoying. I know because I drive around in that area, in all types of areas. They're everywhere. And I've encountered somewhere, though, I allow them to, you know, squeegee my windows. And some days I don't have time and I don't want, you know, don't want my windows done. I've even had a young man that put a heart on my window when I said, no, thank you. Put a heart on my window. It's just a thank you anyway for just, you know, engaging me. And one time I can remember that one man was in front of me and he gave him a dollar and said, do the lady window next behind you. And I was behind him. So I gave him a dollar and said, do the lady window. So it was like a domino effect. Do the lady window behind you. Because I know some of these guys, all of them not bad. Just because you have one bad apple out the bunch, you're gonna chastise the whole masses of the young men who's out here who's trying to do something. Maybe it's the look, like they say, the look of poverty or whatever. I'd rather have the look of poverty than them to stand in my face, putting a gun in my car, saying, give me your car or something like that. We're going to have to give these young men a chance. But they took everything from them. They don't have any recreation, don't have anywhere to have an outlet other than home. They hang out on the street, the police pushing them off the street. They can't do anything. You can't just stop these young folks from trying to do something positive sometimes. And I think if it's okay for the people to stand down there and hold these signs up and say, give me money, and all of them not in need of money, no one's removing them from the streets. No one's having a talk show about that.
Well, that's it. So I hear you, Darlene, and I really appreciate it. And again, I understand. I totally understand, folks. My question and my thing is that some of these young brothers, man, they are really young. They need to be in school or something. I mean, they really need to be in school. If they're coming out of school, they should be involved in some productive activity after school. You know what I mean? But I think the other part of it is certainly the attraction of the street. It just comes right back to that, right? The attraction of the street to be out there, to be in a mix, and then to, you know, to try to get money. And that's the look right now. Let's go to who is this, Kevin from Baltimore? Kevin, what's your take on it? Thank you so much for checking in, bro.
Well, I think you said you're right. It's a lot of layers. I say, for one, you know, I think it's a form of racism. I think it's a form of racism, for one.
Okay.
I think for two, and it's not a joke, but I'm not going to lie. I was joking with my girlfriend. I'll probably say early this year. It seems like there's a whole lot of white people, homeless white people, or faking to be homeless white people, standing on every corner with these squeegee boys. They just begging for money. But we're not talking about that.
So wait a minute. Hold on. I can see where this conversation could potentially go, right? And I want us to think, okay, I don't have the time to try to figure out if somebody's homeless for real or not. So if somebody is coming and they're looking disheveled, they look like they've been out in the street for days, they're carrying a sign, I can't be like, hey, man, hold up, homeboy, before I give you this money, how long you been homeless? So we can't make that assumption, you know what I mean? We can't put that judgment on somebody. And look, at the end of the day, too, also keeping in mind, Kevin, that's a very hard thing to do. You got to really swallow your pride to ask your complete strangers for money.
Well, you see, I don't think that much of society. So, you know, I think we've seen the videos of, you know, these people who come out, go out there and act homeless all day and then, you know, go off.
I mean, that's for them, though. That's between their, like people told me, that's between you and your Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I can't get in that space.
But that ain't even the point of my call. My thing is, though, is you know, if I see somebody just standing in the middle of the median strip with a sign, and then you got these kids out here willing to work for a dollar, I'd rather get something for my dollar. That's one. But my other thing is this. I find it funny how they can find $3,000 a week to pay security guards to watch. Not to do, but to watch. That $3,000 could go back into the community and fund some of these projects, these rec centers, or even give these kids a job. But the mayor is always talking about, I think I can find, I'm going to try to find money to buy ACs for the school. I'm going to find, but we always got the money. She always can find the money to put on these festivals, these air shows, all this stuff that, personally, it's nice to see and look at, but I don't, you know, it's not really fundamental to what's really going on, you know?
Yeah, I got you. Kevin from Baltimore, thank you so much for checking in. I want to be very clear on this. Downtown Partnership is looking to pay that money, not the city. So it's coming from a separate entity. The mayor is saying she's trying to raise $1.7 million from the private sector donations to give about 100 squeegee boys part-time jobs. So that's where that. So really, as taxpayers, I mean, from when I'm seeing this, how this thing is laid out, as taxpayers, we're not footing the bill for that. I mean, Downtown Partnership, okay. But if she's going to chew the private sectors, by all means, $1.7 million, you down in a business and cultural district of the city, you don't like what you see, get some money, and you should be able to raise a whole lot more than $1.7 million. But if that's the start, I'm with it. We're going to come back. We're going to take a quick pause. I'm going to share with you also what the mayor said about this, because we can't lose sight of what's lawful and what's not lawful. So you got to have that. We're talking about safety. And what if you're a driver and you get attacked by a squeegee boy? What if that? How would you feel? So I want you to talk to me about that. So Lamont, Gene, Apache, Rob, Ms. Taylor, Ben, new caller checking in, and a whole bunch of folks are checking in on our Facebook page at For the Culture 88.9. We're going to continue the conversation for the next 30. So don't you go anywhere. Don't you drive away. Don't you turn the radio off. Just ride with me. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm Mikkel Hunter. This month, we're celebrating our WEAA survivors as Warriors of the Pink. That's right. We're saluting you, breast cancer survivors, with an opportunity to share your story on air with our entire WEAA listening audience. To participate, visit our website at WEAA.org. We can't wait to highlight you as our next Warrior of the Pink.
This is Dr. K, and I want you to keep it right here because we want to talk to you about stories that matter. If it is important, if it is interesting, if it is happening in your community or around the country, and if it has your ear, then it has our attention. Stay tuned for Today with Dr. K right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Listen live to your favorite public radio station. Streaming now at WEAA.org. I do
this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host for Raji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks. Tonight, we're talking about the fate of the Squeegee Boys. These are the young guys that you see on the corners who's offering to clean your windshield, right? But apparently, it's not all innocent. There have been a number of complaints, according to Downtown Partnership Organization, who's saying that folks downtown are feeling like the Squeegee Boys are becoming a real nuisance and that they're having some very bad experiences with these young guys. Now, Mr. Kirby Fowler, the president of the Downtown Partnership Organization, has said that they want to try to do their best to try to alleviate some of the burden of the situation. But the best way they know how to do it from their vantage point right now is that they plan to use unarmed guards to be at major intersections where the boys are to monitor the interaction the boys have with the drivers. So I'm just asking, what are your thoughts about this as we talk about it? And again, folks, my thing is this has many layers. And I feel like that silver bullet, you know, we may need a few silver bullets, to be honest with you, folks. We may need a few silver bullets. But let me check in with what folks are saying online on our For the Culture 88.9 Facebook page as we broadcast live. Tiff said, make them register, wear T-shirts with their name and number, big pay them, then pay them bartender wages, and make them work off today instead of $3,000 a week for guards who need to be up and down Charles. Make them register. Wear some T-shirts with their name and number. Pay them bartender wages. Okay, Tiff, I hear that. Okay, that's certainly an idea that we should really consider. Sheila checked in and said, instead of spending $3,000 per week to pay others to monitor them, quote unquote, use that money as salaries to offer them jobs with the city, such as cleaning city office buildings, schools, car washes, etc. Just my 2 cents. I like that idea, too. Again, but this is not coming from the city. This is coming from Downtown Partnership. It's an auxiliary organization. But at the end of the day, I like that. I like that. But the funds are not coming directly from the city on this. But I do like the idea of getting them something else to do. The question then becomes, though, Sheila, will they take those jobs and not be on the street? Tavon checked in and said, wait, why not take that $3,000 each week to help pay these kids? I haven't come across any that were rude or disrespectful and definitely not aggressive. I've even went as far as telling them that their presence can be unprofessional. No shirts, pants sagging. I respect their hustle more than these grown men and women out here begging. They just need guidance on perception and how to carry themselves because they are providing a service. Yep. What about the black entrepreneurs, though? We're talking about providing a service. What about black entrepreneurs? I mean, if you're trying to open up a car wash, I remember seeing a couple of smaller car washes up and down like North Avenue and in Pennsylvania Avenue. Why not just hire these guys? Get them to work for you. What about that? All right. Marcus checked in and said, thank you for Roger for that homeless comment. If you want to give homeless a buck. You know, and he's going to continue to share that. I'm going to share that rest of his comment in a moment. Kamaria checked in and said, hey, I just gave one some money a few minutes ago leaving work downtown. I give when I can because they wouldn't be out here if they didn't need to be. I haven't had too many problems, but they are rude at times or ignore people when they say they don't want their windows washed. I see the issue, but I don't think punishing them is the answer. They need jobs, vocational training, holistic services. Okay. But Marcus wanted, and I agree with you, Kamari. I absolutely agree. I've seen both. I've seen them to be very nice, but then I've seen them to kind of get really upset. So we got to really deal with that. Marcus continued his comments and said that thanks for the homeless comment. If you want to give them money, if not, moved on. We have no reason to judge or dehumanize them. Absolutely. All right, let's go back to the phone line, see what folks got to say. Let's go to Lamont out of Windsor Mill. Lamont, thank you for your patience. What's your take, sir?
Yeah, well, first I want to say everybody's on the street doesn't mean they're not already receiving some type of services. A lot of these young people out there doing that just to get some money in their pockets. It's not a thing that they're doing every day. It's something that they're doing when they need to get a couple of dollars in their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that is it is dangerous. I've seen as many as 10 kids and even more on one intersection, you know, and in between, I guess, the slowdown, the traffic, they're playing, you know, tag or whatever, and they're running in and out of cars.
Yep.
I've seen them get aggressive. I know people who, particularly in West Baltimore, where they kind of use their water without even asking. So there's a lot of problems associated with it. And it's not what you're doing, it's how you're doing it.
Yeah.
And when you have, you know, guy walk up to you in a very in a very disrespectful manner and then curse you out when you say no thank you, people become, you know, be bothered by that. So I think some of, you know, squeegee goes back, I mean, many, many, many decades now.
Yeah.
It's not what they're doing, it's how they're doing it. And that part, I think, could be communicated to these young people. Like, look, if you're going to be at one, it is against the law. But if you are going to be out there, you got to understand, you just can't walk up on somebody's car and you know, with an intimidating posture and disrespectful tone and create more problems for yourself. You're just trying to get a couple of dollars. Do it. Most people would support you if you're respectful.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and most people, you know, you came up and said, sir, you know, ma'am, can I wash your window? And say, no, they slide you a dollar just because you're a professional. They're looking at they're respecting your hustle. But, you know, it's just approach. And we also have to realize the fact that, you know, these are some young people who probably should be in school. And if they're older than that, they probably should be doing something where they can have a real career, because this isn't the thing. So I can understand them trying to discourage that.
Hey, Lamont, I'm really surprised that I haven't heard too many comments about them being in school. Because
right.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. If I'm driving around at 10 o'clock and Melissa checked in on our Facebook and said the same thing, why are we trying to make good out of bad 10 o'clock a.m.? Really? Why aren't they in school? That's what I'm thinking. Like, why aren't they in school?
I was coming out of East Baltimore at North and Charles, and there was a kid. This was late after school, but it was a time where you said, okay, you should be preparing for school.
Yeah.
I couldn't even see him. He was so small. And I'm like, why are you out here? I mean, you know, like, what are you doing? I can't even see you.
There it is.
All you can see is the top of the stick. So it's safety issues. It's the
right.
issues that these kids need to be in school where they can, you know, have productive futures.
Yep.
So, you know, we just can't look at it as that the partnership trying to do something to harm them. They're not. It's really not. It's better for their betterment.
All right, Lamont, thank you so much for checking in from Windsor Mill. The question it becomes, suppose something really does happen to them. Suppose that, like, one of these little guys get hit. I've seen them as young as 9 and 10, folks. I'm not even going to front. 9 and 10 years old. They could be out there early in the morning, very late at night. If one of these little brothers get hit, right, then what do we say? Where does the conversation go from there? Let's go back to the line. Gene from Pikesville. Talk to me, Gene. What's your take?
How you doing, Farazi?
I'm good.
It sounds to me it's like I know people go on cruises and they go to you know, the islands and they see the poverty and people begging, but begging is a worldwide in some countries it's almost an occupation.
Okay.
Within poverty, a subgroup within poverty, they're born poor, they're born within that caste, and that's what they do. America is kind of beginning to see that now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people have talked about regulating. You know, it's wintertime coming now. I had a business downtown, so the people get their, peddler's license, and they start selling gloves, right? And in the summertime, they're selling socks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hustle. When the School for the Arts closes down, right outside of the School of the Arts, there's a group of people there, you know, within a certain demographic in the Charles Village community that provides a service, right?
Right. Okay. So my thing is, look, and Gene, I appreciate you for checking. I got to let you go, Gene. But the thing is that, again, we see them,
uh-huh.
but not but not a lot of us are able to provide that pathway to get them off the streets or to change their reality.
Let's restrict where they can be.
So who does the restriction, though? Who does the regulating?
So the city does that because that's who regulates everything else. And then what you do is you guide them toward Sunday mornings when churches open up and let them beg in front of the churches.
Let them beg in front. Gene, you are revolutionary. I hear that, sir. Thank you so much for checking in from Pikesville. Ben, new caller. Thank you for your patience, Ben. What's your take, sir?
Also, Robbie, I'm a cab driver, and I see these guys all the day. And I have witnessed some of the stuff that you're talking about. I've seen guys get angry because they clean a woman's or a person's windshield, and they don't give them anything for it. Half the people are scared. They don't want to roll their windows down.
That's a real concern.
You know? And so someone will turn their windshield wipers on to prevent them from doing that. And then there's some people just contributing on cleaning their windows at all. I have passed, like the young lady said, we have passed this board. Give money, hey, take this. But the thing is, if you teach them that this is a business, teach them to approach it from a business point of view, teach them, give them some people skills, I think they'll do a lot better. And people wouldn't be so afraid to allow them to, you know, to clean their windshield because they don't feel threatened now.
I get that.
You know?
And I get that. Here's the thing, though. Some of these boys don't need to be out there trying to set up their own business during school hours. I'm not hearing that. Where's the school? Where's the schooling coming, Paul? Where's that component into this conversation?
Parazi, I've seen 21-year-old, 24-year-olds out there.
That's a different situation. I got you on that. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I got you. When you're in your 20s, all right, let's have a conversation, bro. What you trying to do? What you trying to do with yourself? But I'm saying if you out there in your 20s and you running around with these 14, 15, 16-year-olds, like, come on, man, what you trying to do? Are you trying to finish school? Like, what are you trying to do? And I'm not saying that we should all just, you know, some people aren't built to have those conversations at that time. But at the end of the day, we can't just totally negate school from this equation. We can't just say, okay, let's just try to set up a business or no, they need to be in school, man. They need to learn something.
Faraz, I am not disagreeing with you.
I got you.
Younger ones should be in school. So my question is, how come parents don't know they're not in school?
That's the other question, right?
The parents are the primary educators of our children. Mothers are the primary educators of our children as far as humanity, teaching them about love, teaching about how to conduct themselves as school people in society, and the father's responsibility to teach them how to navigate through this world that we have to navigate through.
That is.
That component is absent, obviously.
Absolutely. Then
but
I appreciate.
I've noticed that some of these young guys, they're making some good money, and they go home, they're able to eat. And so, I'm not mad with them. I talk to some of them, I say, hey, look, man, conduct yourself a little better, you'll get better results. And some of them say, okay, OG, because they've seen it. They say, man, what you got for me today? So I got to think, okay, what can I tell them today? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, look, if one young brother, and I've talked to a couple of young brothers, and Ben, thank you so much for checking in from Edmonton Village. I've talked to them and say, brother, what you trying to do? What you trying to do? Because I'm not trying to have you sitting out here all day. Man, you can work let's just cut through all of the madness, folks. There's nothing wrong with working in a fast food restaurant, especially when you're a teenager. Nothing wrong with that. Like, you can learn some very, very good productive skills working for a fast food restaurant. Working at a fast food restaurant is not easy, especially if you got the morning shift and you work at one of these fast food restaurants and you got to wake up and serve breakfast. There's a level of commitment. There's some sacrifice. That's not an easy situation. So for us to get into the space of like, oh man, like, you know, nah, man, like, teach them. If you want to teach them, man, look, check this out. Here's an application for this place or that place. You're trying to really change your life. And on the flip side of it is, if you have an opportunity to talk to them, ask them, do they really want to work, or is it just about being in the streets? That's what it comes down to. I don't care what you're talking about, squeegee boys, or you talking about dudes brothers are just hanging out on the corners. At the end of the day, I ask them, do you legitimately, truly want to work? Or is this just about the social part of this whole situation? All right, let's go to Apache, Baltimore. Talk to me, sir.
Hello, brother. How are you doing today?
Walaikum salam. Good. How are you?
I'm good. So, you know, it's funny you catch me now because I'm passing an area on McCullough and North Avenue where I used to be a squeegee boy when I was young in the mid-'80s, you know, and I don't know if any other, you know, callers out here used to be squeegee boys or whatever, or squeegee girls, because it's not just boys. But, you know, when I did that in the mid-'80s, it was a solution to poverty. You know, we was trying to eat, you know. We was trying to get money because, you know, we came from poor areas. And a lot of these kids that's out there, they're from poor areas. You know, the area you're talking about right now, you know, is co-located with some...
Say it again. These young men... But come on, Apache. You and I know that these young brothers and these young ladies... They are not stupid, man. These are bright young people,
yeah, right,
man.
And that's what I want to get to. They're so smart that they, you know, instead of going out there doing drugs and, you know, selling drugs and everything else, or trying to, you know, rob and stuff like that, they're so smart. That's how smart Baltimore people are. You know, I'm a Baltimore son. I grew up here, okay?
Right.
And I'm not sure where you're from, all right?
I'm from, but oh, come on. I'm from Baltimore.
We're so smart in Baltimore youth, okay, that we will go out there, realize that there's a squeegee at that gas station, you know, And I can take that squeegee and go ahead and wash these windows and get some money. They used to do it at gas stations, and then it became to the corners because that's where the cars are. All right, this is how it happened in the mid-'80s. You know, and back then, you can look it up. Back then, you know, in the mid-'80s, you know, they went crazy. Said, hey, all these kids are in the streets or whatever, doing squeegees, you know, making money and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they took it to the city council, you know. And Mayor Schaefer, back then, you know, he was for the youth. He said, you know, no, leave them alone. You know what I mean? They out there, you know, doing something productive. These are young entrepreneurs. They're in the revitalization zone in that area that you're talking about right now. So if the mayor wanted to be creative and the city council wanted to be creative, they would walk them right down the street, Martin Luther King Boulevard, to the city comptroller, which is only a mile and a half of where you're talking about right now, and get them all registered, you know, with business licenses, okay? They would, you know, like
but they don't all need to be registered with business licenses, Apache. I mean, at the end of the day, because for what? They need to be taught. They don't now. I mean, what are we doing now? What are we doing with young people now? Are we saying, like, okay, you on the street, therefore, to forego your educational path and let's just put you in business? Even in business, you still have to have simple skills, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right. So let me answer that question. So, yes, they do have, you know, again, Baltimore youth is smart, smarter than what you probably think. They do have arithmetic skills because you got to count the money at the end of the day. All right. They're already entrepreneurs. They're doing their own business. Why not encourage them? I'm not saying the ones that, you know, staying after school. That's another issue. Truancy definitely is an issue, you know. But that takes a conversation, okay? Is there something more that's going in the home or where this person is from that they need more than what they're doing?
But businesses, but establishing a youth entrepreneur, I don't, and I may be wrong on this, but establishing a youth entrepreneur is not a solution that to dealing with the issue of a young person being out in the street.
Okay, again, I'm not saying that solves the problems of the home.
No, I know you're not saying that, but I'm just saying I think we just need to be clear so we don't conflate the issue of let's go this business route versus let's try to teach and empower and get young people's minds on the right track.
That is the right track. That's my whole
That's
point.
Fine, but see, we can have young people can have businesses and go to school.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with most of the people that we're talking about, most of the youth that we're talking about are doing this after school. You know, so we don't want to conflate it and say like they're all just dropping out of school and, you know, going out there, you know, trying to make money.
Come on, Apache, you know? Real quick. And I gotta let you go because I got to get to my other callers. But real quick, there is a big social component attached to this. I mean, yes, you got some of those young brothers who are looking to really feed themselves. I get that. But then there's other part of those young brothers who just like to go out there to hang out with their homeboys. That's what it comes down to, right? Like just the same way you see brothers on the corners, some of them do what they do, and then others, they just like to be out there in that environment, in that space. They like to just hang out, right? And so it's becoming cool to just hang out, run through traffic and things. Let me share with you folks. And Apache, again, thank you so much for checking in. The man said this, it's against the law to impede traffic, whether you're a squeegee, window washer, a beggar, selling newspapers. She said that. You have to be on the sidewalk. You can't retaliate. No means no. So you can't be out in the middle of the street. You can't be running through traffic. There has to be a balance in this, folks. Let's go to Ms. Taylor, Catonsville. Ms. Taylor, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
How you doing, Farai?
I'm good. How are you, Ms. Taylor?
I am well. But to answer your question, I think that the money being spent by the Downtown Partnership, that's absurd. That whole idea to hire those guards to watch over those children should not be out there. They should not be in the street. They should not be in the traffic going through cars. I really think that many of them are too young. Like one of the other drivers said, I almost ran over one of them because I couldn't see. I was behind the truck.
Oh my gosh, it's dangerous
for them. It's dangerous for me. And, you know, there was some squeegee boys down on Gwynn's Falls. I think this is Gwynn's Falls. They were in their teens. I understand the problem, the underlying problem, but that the Downtown Partnership is a Band-Aid for poverty, for youth not having enough to do. It's just one ongoing problem. Squeegee boys have been around a long time. The water people have been around a long time. The beggars have been around a long time. We are suffering from poverty, not enough to do.
Sure.
And that's all I have to say. If we just keep talking like we're talking now and doing absolutely nothing or putting Band-Aids on it, we're going to continue to have this problem. Poverty is a big problem.
So do you agree with the mayor's effort to try to raise money from private sector to create some part-time jobs for these young guys?
I do agree with that. And I'm not saying when these kids come up to the car, I say no sometimes. It's almost like I shouldn't use the word. But if I tell you no, that means no. I had to roll down my window one time. I said, I told you no. And he understood. He took it like I was his mother. I said, I told you no, so don't touch my car. We shouldn't have to go to that aspect. They need to know what no means, being a young man.
Yeah.
That carries over into something else when you're dealing with young ladies.
Absolutely.
They need to be taught right from wrong. And being on the street, not knowing anything. But then again, you don't know what you don't know until you're taught the right thing. That's all I have to say.
Ms. Taylor. Thank you so much for checking in. You are absolutely right. Let's go to who we got here. We got Rob from Forest Park. Rob, talk to me, sir. You said there is a solution. Yes, sir. Rob?
I had to say, but I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead. I'm making sure.
Okay, and I'm very liberal-minded, but I want to tell you that these young guys, young ones, not them 18, 19, 20-year-olds, they don't want to go to school. Now, I've talked to them, and I'm up here by Garrison and Clifton. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be in school. And so I said, well, what about your mother? Where's your daddy? I hate my father. First thing come out of their mouth. Mm. I don't know where he's in jail. And I honestly cannot believe that these mothers don't know where their sons are.
You know that opens up a whole nother can, though, right, Rob?
Yeah, you said layers at the beginning of the show.
That's all it's saying. You're right. It's layers.
Okay. And now my heart says be liberal-minded, but my brain says get a swoop. Pick them all up at one time, throw them in the cruiser, and take them down to the jail, get them some scared straight.
Oh, you come from that school of thought. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
Mr.
Rob,
Farage.
Thank you so much for checking in from Forest Park. Hey, look, man, I understand his sentiment, but, you know, the scared straight, that's done a lot of good things for many people. Let's check in with Curtis out of Northeast Baltimore. Curtis, what's your take on it?
Hey, Farage, man, look, how ironic is it that you was on this conversation and my wife called me and told me that some guy was trying to squeegee her window while it was raining. Huh? Come on, man. But this is what they do. But listen, Farage, I'm agree with the lady that wrote in and said why we trying to make a good situation out of something bad.
Come on.
because it's not a good situation for Raji. Listen, you got different groups of people out there, because I stop and talk to them also quite often, too. And I always ask, like, around Gwen's Falls, I ask kids how old they are. A lot of times it's like 16 or older.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you catch some out there a little younger than that. But correct me if I'm wrong, Faraji, the legal working age in the state of Maryland is what, 14?
You got to be like 14 and a half. And I think that's, you know, that's around some conditions. I technically didn't start working until I was like 15 and a half. I was almost 16. That was years ago.
Yeah, I'm almost sure I started at around 14 and a half.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was cleaning tables at like 15 years old.
Yeah, and that's what I try to convince these young kids out here to do. And even like the older ones that's out there, I'm like, well, why are you out here squeezing a window? The effort and time that you're putting in doing this, you could be filling out applications somewhere. But at the same time, for Roger, you got to understand the circumstances that go behind why they out there.
Right.
A lot of them out there because, you know, they got criminal records that I get this from them. They, you know, I got a record and been in jail and stuff like that. But my whole thing with that is you can't allow that to stop you from trying to go and seek legal employment. Because you standing out here, especially a grown man, squeegee and car windows just doesn't make any type of sense at all.
And you know what, Curtis? I thank you so much for checking in. One of the big things is that Baltimore has become a much more progressive city in allowing people with records. If you didn't do nothing really, really crazy, you can get a job in Baltimore. You can get a job. I'm going to go to my final caller before this hour. Issa from Baltimore checking in. Issa, thank you so much. What's your take on this?
Hey, peace. The first thing I'd like to say is shout out to the Squeegee Boys, because I love the spirit of self-determination.
Yeah, me too.
Activating in this city.
Right.
Creating opportunities for themselves. Secondly, I would like to say that I'm highly disturbed about the language that's being used to address this issue. Okay. People are talking about the youth as if it's someone else's responsibility to educate and employ the students, especially if we're talking about community. There's a brother by the name of Imhotep Fatu who wrote a book, and in the book it talks about how when the men don't step up in the community, the boys run amok. So we're talking about fast food, restaurants. We're talking about why aren't they in school. I mean, the people who are talking about the school system obviously are not connected to the school, because the school are not serving the youth as someone who actually works in the school. The mayor is not helping. The mayor is not going to help these students. I mean, somebody else already said it earlier about all of these events and walkthroughs that city government is doing, but not putting any actual money behind it. Okay, so, I mean, it's all of the people that's getting on the phone talking about the youth are a problem. Well, who do you think, whose responsibility do you think it is to organize these youth and create opportunities for them, as opposed to depending on a government or saying they need to get a job? One woman called in and said, I had to roll down my window and tell him, no, I don't want my windows wiped. And he took that as if she was her mother. See, we need to tap back into our culture and organize our children, as opposed to getting on a radio show named The Voice of the Community, and we are talking about putting this type of burden on somebody else. We have to educate our own men. There's too many mouthpieces in Baltimore, and it's a sad day in Baltimore when the adults can get on a radio show and talk about the youth. Why don't you get some youth on there, and why don't you organize some men to create institutions for our children, as opposed to putting the responsibility on someone else? My name is Issa. Have a wonderful evening.
Hey, Issa, thank you so much. You're absolutely welcome.